Shout it loud, hallelujah. Let's rise up on our feet, please. As we close our eyes and raise up our two hands to the Lord and sing this song. Holy Ghost, do it again, again, do it again in my life. I open my eyes to see Jesus. We see them upon me. Holy Ghost, do it again. Holy Ghost, do it again, again. Open my eyes to see Jesus. We see that upon the truth. Shout a Jericho destroying hallelujah. Let's close our eyes as we raise up our two hands to the Lord. Every conspiracy against my destiny in the heavens, tonight, scatter in the name of Jesus. Scatter the conspiracies in the name of Jesus. Scatter the conspiracies. In Jesus' name we pray. Before we sit down, there are three prayers I want you to pray now. The prayer is as a result of the current attacks the enemy is waging against so many people. It will appear as if there are very, very few healthy people because the enemy is waging war in all areas. Therefore, I want you to say this loud and clear. Power days of witchcraft in my place of birth. Can you say this with boiling anger? Yeah! In the name of Jesus. Yes. Destroy the base. Pray this from your heart. Basekapela kaya beshende rabokontia. In Jesus' name we pray. Thunder of God, arise. Destroy the blood bank of the enemy. Please pray this one very well. Can I hear you say this loud and clear? Can you say that again? Can you shout it louder than anyone here? In the name of Jesus. Yes. Command the blood bank to be destroyed. In Jesus' name we pray. Every grave in my father's house. Can you say this with boiling anger? Can you say it again with boiling anger? Calling my name. Scatter in the name of Jesus. Scatter the grave that is calling your name. Pasopeka tarabeshende rabokontia. Ribosopende ke pelaka. Manaribosopende ke yaboshanda. Scatter the grave, scatter the grave. In Jesus' name we pray. Wonderful God, we thank you for another wonderful evening. And we praise your holy name for the touch of your power upon our lives. We thank you because you are our nail in the sure place. You are our shelter in the time of storm. You are the voice that no man can silence. You are the door that no man can shut. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Thank you because you are higher than the highest and taller than the tallest and stronger than the strongest. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. This evening, open our understanding. Lay your hands upon our lives. Move us from where we are to where you want us to be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's have a seat. God bless you. Praise the Lord. This evening, We're looking at an important topic which I want you to pay very close attention to. When God joins the enemy. When God joins the enemy. When you talk about God and the enemy, there is a relationship between them. God can destroy our enemies. God can use our enemies. God can walk through our enemies. God can oppose our enemies. God can frustrate our enemies. God can disappoint the devices of our enemies. At the same time, God can join with our enemies. There is a difference in God rejecting somebody. That is, God vomits the person and says, I don't want to have anything to do with this one again. That one is a serious tragedy indeed. When God vomits the person and says, I don't want to have anything to do with this one, I am rejecting this one. It's a serious tragedy on its own. The Bible tells us that God can get tired and sick of a person and say, well, this one, I don't want to have anything to do with this one again. People have been brought for prayers and God says, son, don't pray for this one. Get closed. God can reject a person. And it's terrible enough, that one. But there is a more horrible evil that can happen. The more horrible evil is that God should now go and join the enemy and is fighting against a person. Listen to me very, very carefully tonight. God is set to purge his church. There are plenty of mixed multitude among the children of God these days that are polluting the house of God, causing confusion there, who are there for nothing good. God is set to purge them out, whatever them they bear, whether they are pastors, whether they are members. If your agenda is to pollute, you'll be purged out. So God is set to purge his church. My heart goes out to so many people here tonight. Witchcraft power, you don't have. Magic, you don't have. Familiar spirit, you don't have. Juju, you don't have. You only depend on God and the Bible and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But this God that you claim to depend on, that you claim to say you are serving, you annoy him every day. So how will you now defend yourself in the day of battle? The power you say you rely upon, the Bible and the word of God and Jesus. But now you are doing what that power, what that word is saying, don't do. The kind of thought pattern, the kind of activities that he says, do not engage in. That's what you are doing. So how will he fight for you? The Yoruba said that if a cow does not have tail, God helps to chase away the flies. But if that cow that has no tail, the tailless cow, is annoying God who is to chase the flies, who will chase the flies? A terrible situation is arising now these days, beloved, amongst many so-called children of God. Some of the people who rush to deliverance ground, they are actually trying to get themselves delivered from the battle against God. He's going and he's fighting them and they are going for deliverance instead of them to fall back on his knees and do what God wants them to do. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, we see a description of this kind of situation. There are people here tonight who need to cry unto God. If they must move from where they are now to where God actually wants them to be. You will be deceiving yourself to think you can hide before the Almighty. Those who have just arisen from the bed of fornication, God sees them here. Those who have just stolen, God sees them here. Those who are just busy telling lies and do not cancel, God sees it. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 16, Saul had got into trouble and is now trying to bring up Samuel from the dead because God has turned the deaf ear to him. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 16. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? It's a very, very serious situation. When God departs from a person and then has become the enemy of the person. God now ran away from the side, God ran away from the side of Saul. He went to join himself with the Philistines in order to strengthen the Philistines to deal with Saul. Eventually, the Philistines caught up with Saul and they killed Saul. They killed his son Jonathan and they hung their dead bodies on wood outside the Philistines' camp. In Isaiah chapter 63, Isaiah 63, verse 10, I pray that if you are here tonight, already God has joined your enemies to fight you, that you'll be able to call for his mercy tonight and get yourself out of this terrible grip. In Isaiah chapter 63, verse 10. So, but he rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. So rebellion and vexing the Holy Spirit is one factor that can turn God against you. But they rebelled and vexed the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy. And he fought, God fought against them. Because they rebelled and vexed the Holy Spirit. If God is fighting a person and you run to deliverance, God, you will see your time. In the book of Lamentation, chapter 3. Lamentation, chapter 3 tells us another situation where God himself is the one now waging war against a person. This is a very, very serious matter, and it's good for you to deeply think and look at these scriptures. Lamentation chapter 3 verse 5. He said, he had builded against me and compassed with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old, that edged me about that I cannot get out. He had made my chain heavy. And when I cry and shout, he shutted out my prayers. I pray that anything that will make God to shut out your prayer, that God will remove you from your life here tonight. Beloved, there are situations when God joins with the enemy to fight you. When God teams up with the enemy, it can be a terrible situation. It is a terrible thing when God is strengthening your enemies against you. It's a terrible thing when God is empowering the troubler of Israel in order to trouble Israel more. It is tragic, but it is true that God can energize household wickedness to multiply the welfare of a person. The question is, under which condition does God join with the enemies? There are only four conditions, which I want to discuss briefly now before we start praying here. But you see, it's possible to come here tonight and go away with nothing, especially if your heart is hard. But if God sees the sincerity of your heart, then he will show you mercy. Under what condition can God go and join up with the enemy? There are four conditions. Number one condition is this. When someone is in danger of settling down and making a home of a temporary station, a place that God meant is just for a small bus stop, you don't want to convert the bus stop to a house. A place that God wants you to just make a temporary structure, now you want to build a whole house there and settle down. Then God joins up with the enemy to throw you out of the place. Faces that are smiling at you, that are making you comfortably settle in the wrong place, just will change all of a sudden. Jacob was with Laban. He had traveled far away from home because of fear of Esau. Jacob will have stayed with Laban forever, if not that God had to strengthen the enemy against Jacob. God turned Laban against Jacob. Had this not happened to Jacob, Jacob will have remained with Laban and will not go to the land of promise where he's supposed to reap his promise. So by the time Laban waged war against Jacob, he ran. The apostles too, after they received the marching order, that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and uttermost part of the earth. These people wanted to settle down in Jerusalem. And God said, no, this is not the place to settle down. He raised warfare against them to shake them out of Jerusalem. Many of us are sitting in comfort zone spiritually. We are at ease in Zion. And because of that, he has to raise warfare to chase people out and drive them away from their comfort zones so that they can move to where God wants them to move to. I want you to understand this very, very well. God's will for our lives is that we should conform to his will for our lives. Is that we must conform to his image. The reason God saved you is not just to take you to heaven alone. In fact, if the reason God saved you is to just take you to heaven, then the day you get born again, he will just kill you and take you there straight. But the main reason for your salvation is because God has a will for your life, which you have thrown away, you have lost, and is now saving you and salvaging that will so that you can fulfill his purpose for your life. But when you now steer away from that will of God, because you find a comfort zone now, it raises warfare against you so that you can move to where he wants you to move to. I know a brother, he had 5 cars, he had 3 houses, and as he got those things, his spiritual life went down. He had arrived at the comfort zone, and God now started. Crashed the first car, crashed the second car, crashed the third car, crashed the fourth car. Then the engine knocked. So all five cars gone. And then God started on the houses. The houses, one tenant was just playing with the gas. That one exploded and burned down. And the tenant burnt with the house. So there's nobody to ask to pay anything. Little by little, his comfort was shaken away until he ran back to Jesus. This was what Jonah wanted to do too. And God had to raise warfare against Jonah. There was no deliverance minister that could have saved Jonah from the hand of the Almighty. There is no word of knowledge that will have saved Jonah. There is no prayer that will have saved Jonah from the hand of the Almighty. Unless Jonah went back to his knees and said, "Father, I am sorry. Let your will be done in my life." Listen and listen to me very carefully, beloved. There are many who are so far behind where God wants them to be. And sometimes God has no option but to scatter the comfort soon so that he can move them forward. The second reason why God joins the enemy is when a person is a fool according to scriptures. When the person is a fool, as far as the Bible is concerned, let's see the people the Bible calls fools. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says this: "For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words." A fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When you are a good talker, but a poor listener, you are a fool. That's what the Bible says. Talk. But when you listen to others, just talk and talk, you are a fool. God will wage war against you. In the same Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. Let's see the people the Bible calls fools. Proverbs 29:11. "A fool uttereth on his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards." A fool is somebody who tells everything he or she knows. He's just talk, everything, no secret, nothing. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16, we're looking at who the fools are. Proverbs 12:16. "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame." Quick temper, violent temper is a sign of the fool. Once you have a very short fuse, you blow up very easily. You are a fool as far as the Bible is concerned. In Proverbs chapter 20 now, Proverbs chapter 20 verse 3, it says this: "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." So a fool is somebody who is always fighting. Even when there is peace, you look for a situation to cause strife. You meddle with other people's affairs that it does not concern you and so cause trouble. In Proverbs chapter 18 verse 6, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:6, "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth called for strokes." And this is the person is always getting in and out of fight, in and out of fight. You fight your husband, fight your house, fight people outside, in and out of fight. In Proverbs chapter 28 verse 25, we are talking about who the Bible calls fools. The Bible says, "He that has a proud heart seareth up strife." So a fool is a proud person. Very proud. All the proud people are just fools as far as the Bible is concerned. Now I'm back to the book of Proverbs again, chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs 1, 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And when somebody is a fool, the Bible says, "They shall call upon me and I will not answer. They shall seek me early and they shall not find me." That's what the Bible says. In the book of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9. Proverbs 14:9 says, "Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor." When you are mocking your sin, you are taking the issue of sin as a joke. You say it's a joke, whereas everyone is taking it seriously. The Bible calls you a fool, and God now joins with the enemy in order to give you a hard fight. A hard fight. If you know the amount of money some people are spending on drugs in order to just remain healthy, you know the amount of things that some people go through in order to get simple things to work out, you know the amount of effort some people put in order to pass any exam, you find that it's like a struggle and struggle and struggle. The Bible says, "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow." The Bible says, "He has given a name which is above all names, far above every principality and power, far above every name that is to be named, That is, when you begin to call the name of Jesus, he says, call upon me and I will answer. And you call and call and call and call, and everything seems to be dumb and deaf and there is no answer. It is time for you to check whether you are really fighting the devil or you are fighting God himself. Once it's God and his presence at the battlefront facing you, and you don't quickly repent and do a roundabout turn, the person is writing a letter to instant destruction. The third condition under which God turns to become the enemy is when your heart is dirty. Dirty heart. Dirty, dirty heart. And when you have a dirty heart, there is all kinds of manifestation that you will manifest. Say, well, I don't normally misbehave. All these things they are saying, I don't do them all. I only take occasional bribe. I don't normally do this kind of thing. I don't drink too much, but only a few glasses. Well, I know this is very difficult, but I don't commit fornication with every girl, but out of 30 girls, maybe two. I'm not really that bad. I have friends who do it every day, but me myself, maybe it's just once in 3 years. What is pushing me to this is because it's because of loneliness. I'm lonely. That's why I'm doing all this kind of thing. I don't look at me as a bad person. I don't sleep with every man on the street. Only with those have been kind to me. So in fact, the only people I go about with is divorces. Those who have divorced their husband or wife. That's the kind of people I go about with. I said, I don't have service. I don't have any boyfriend. But this man is the man that says he wants to marry me. And my parents know him. Because of that, both of you are living in sin. Now you call yourself Christian. God will wage war against you. The day I want to stop, I will stop. I know. I'm disciplined. I always stop. Is that all? You just want me to stop drinking? Okay, I will stop drinking. I don't drink too much, only 2 bottles. They are talking about lies, but I don't tell lies too much. Only lies I tell are business lies, commercial lies. In our business, you know, you have to tell lies occasionally. That's why plenty of these people who are doing professional work, trade work, they are on straight path to hellfire unless they repent. Because of the lies and lies and lies they keep telling every day. God will not listen to your excuse that you are an estate agent. God will not listen to you that you are a radio mechanic. God will not listen to you that, well, you see, in this business, if you don't tell lies, you don't gain anything. Since you have been telling the lies, what have you got? I say, well, sir, I don't tell lies all the time. I say, me, I have no girlfriend. I know, not me. That's not my area. I don't know, not my area at all. But if you are saying that one, and you are undressing a woman or a man in the laboratory of your heart, you are watching their shape, watching their legs, watching all kinds of things in the laboratory of your heart. The Bible says you are a fornicator, you are an adulterer, you are a rapist. That is, God groups you with the same person who holds a knife and says, if you don't lie down now and let me sleep with you, I will kill you here. It's the same thing when you do it in the laboratory of your heart. And unfortunately these days, many so-called Christians who come to church, they're just bathing in the ocean of sin every day. The Bible says being angry and having hatred in your heart is murder. So that's why when God begins to judge sin, he judges your intentions. He judges your motives. He judges your reasons. He judges your way of life. He judges your thought processes. The longings of your heart is what God is looking at. God judges the cravings of your heart. He looks at the tablet of your heart. When God begins to judge, that's what he will look at. That's what he will look at. You say, but I'm not an armed robber. I don't steal things from people. But if covetousness is in your heart, and you are looking at somebody and you are wishing that, I wish I can grab what this person has, you are already an armed robber in your heart. This is why we have to be very, very careful. If the tablet of your heart is polluted, God joins the enemy to fight you. No liar will enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible makes that one very clear. If you have become such an expert at lying that when you talk, only God can tell that you are a liar, then you are finished. When you keep telling your wife, in fact, as you are looking at me, I have no cupboard, there is no money in this pocket, no change at all, nothing. Whereas you are lying, God will join up to fight. What God will do is this, he will call for the spirit of poverty, because you have said there is no money in your pocket. He will join up with this spirit to wage war against you. So it doesn't matter what kind of deliverance you go for. All these things they take their root from the laboratory of your heart. Maybe you are a professional liar, a romantic liar. You are calling a woman an angel when you have never even seen a proper angel before. Romantic liar. All these are things that is from the heart. From the heart. And it takes a lie to complete a lie to make it a complete lie. And I want you to understand that the heart of God is bleeding. Bleeding in many, many places. When he is not able to penetrate our hearts, then he can't penetrate us. Then he joins up with the enemy to fight us. I've been to many places to preach in my life. Many places to preach in my life. But from my little observation, there are four places where when men hear a preacher, they listen hard and pray hard. Four places. The first place is the cemetery. When a man stands on a tomb, I mean, say, yes, all of you are covered this burial. You can see that this man is dead now. We have buried him now. All of you, one day we die. People are very sober. They listen. The first time I called the prayer point at the burial ground that I shall not die on time, the grave was shaking. They prayed. The second place where men listen hard and pray hard is leprosy colony. Because the leprosy colony, they put all of them out of town. They can't marry. They can't mix with others. The fingers are not there. The toes are not there. They can't relate with anybody. So in that kind of place, they listen hard. The third place where people listen very well to messages is the prison yard. The prisoners listen to messages. By the time they lock a man up, you can't see your wife, you can't see your family, you can't go out, you can't see the boss, you can't eat what you like for about 2 or 3 months, something happens to him. The fourth place where people listen hard and pray hard is amongst men who have been condemned to death, that they are about to be executed, and they bring a preacher in. They listen hard and pray hard. In these four places, why do men listen so hard? Why do they pay close attention and pray like a madman? It's because at that level, the heart can no longer play games. Game up. No games again. No mago there again. Listen very carefully tonight, beloved. We pray a lot of prayers, yeah. And plenty of things happen when we pray. But God is saying there are so many people here who are the ones blocking their own blessings because of the kind of life they are living. Very, very soon, I hope not, Gigio might have to be coming to the pulpit here and be announcing names of men and women he will excommunicate from the mountain of fire. There are so many people, they were disciplined in their church for fornication, they run here. Some make their wife pregnant before marriage, so their church refuses to wed them, they come here. After one baby, they come here and say, correction marriage. Some will abandon their wives and they will be bringing strange women to our services. The time will come, I hope not, that I will have to stand and say, this is a man bringing strange women here who is communicating from this church in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to see you here again. And the day that kind of pronouncement is made, you are finished. So, because we will not sit down here and allow them to pollute this place. They are polluting so many churches around. So if you are here, you are playing games like that, the day we catch you here, we shall publicly expose you and excommunicate you. Because we don't want polluters here. Because if everyone lives a holy life, and every member of the Mountain of Fire and Miracles Ministry is living a life of purity and they are on fire, what will happen is that before we even start praying, the answers are started to come. Before you even say, let me go and see whether I have to go for a deliverance, what you want will already have happened. And then it will not be too difficult to set the place on the fire of God. But when you gather about 10 persons, this one is just patching up his anger, small. He's a very violent person. This one is still putting condom in his briefcase. His wife is seeing it every night. This third one, when they say pay tight, it is then he will develop malaria fever. I won't come to church. You now group them together. Start praying. They may pray, but the result will either be slow coming or not at all. So make up your mind. If you want to be coming here, then decide that you want to be serious with God. The Mountain of Fire Miracles Ministry is not interested in bench warmers. And we could not be bothered what any pastor is preaching outside about holiness. We could not be bothered why there are churches where they don't mention that there is heaven, there is hell at all. We could not be bothered. I don't know what they heard from God, but we are telling you now what is the truth of the Word of God. Jesus told us the blunt truth. In fact, it was Jesus that made us to know about deliverance. It was Jesus that made us to know a lot more about hellfire than any other person tells us. So something Jesus said, one preacher said, it's not important. The deliverance that Jesus was doing all over the street, somebody said, it's not important. The baptism of the Holy Ghost that the apostles like Paul were doing on people on the streets, somebody said, it's not important. There are plenty of people now who are supposed to be in this gathering praying, but the reason they are running away, mountain of fire. Let them tell the Jew, if you allow all these ladies to come here in their trousers, and the backless, and the legless, and the chestless,
Let everybody come the way they want. If they can just do that, all of us will be here. No, that's not our blueprint here. We have to be very, very careful, and we have to understand where we are going. The laboratory of the heart will make God to turn and be fighting the person. In case you are listening to me tonight, you're a crooked businessman. Better depends. You're a pastor. You are stealing God's money. Better depends. That hand you are using to steal God's money cannot be laid on the sick, and the sick will be made whole. The laboratory of the heart. The fourth condition, under which the Almighty will now go and join with the enemy and say, okay, let us fight him now, is unbrokenness. When you are not broken, many things can go wrong. Look at what it says in John chapter 12. John chapter 12 verse 24. John 12, 24. Beloved, I'm sad to tell you that the kind of life that many live is that of a quiet, terrible habit and silent sin, which has paralyzed their spiritual work and power. Many harbor the deposit and anointing of hellfire. In John chapter 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abided alone. Except you are broken, you are on your own as far as God is concerned. And under that situation, the enemy has the right to do anything he wants with you. When you are stubborn and unteachable, you are unbroken. When you do things really bad, and it does not prick your conscience that this thing is not good, you fall into sin, there is no godly sorrow for that sin at all. You are unbroken. You are weak in the spirit, but you are not sensitive to your weakness. You have developed a hard heart that is difficult to penetrate. That's a sign of unbrokenness. You are completely disobedient to God, and hypocrisy is your garment, and you are unbroken. Humility is very far, but pride is so close to you. You are unbroken. That's what it means. When you are never deeply sincere, never deeply sincere, it's difficult to find you telling the truth. You are not broken. Prayer and singing that you sing, they are mostly superficial. Any small opportunity to strike back at those who have offended you, you will take the opportunity with two hands. There are plenty of unbroken people who come for our services. One day like this, two women were fighting this auditorium because of seats. They are basically not broken. Do you know there are some people who reserve seats for those who will not even come with paper? They reserve with paper. They are completely unbroken. And when you look at your life, and you see the kind of friends, if you see the kind of friends you keep, the way you talk, the way you spend your time, the way you make your money, the things you wear, the kind of music you listen to, the kind of things you talk about, the kind of books you read, the way you eat, you will be able to know whether you are broken or not broken. Whether you pretend or not, the unbrokenness will reveal itself. All the carnally minded things, the tribalistic thoughts, keeping all of unprofitable friends, and you always like to please everybody, even when you know what you are pleasing them for is wrong. You are a complete talkative. You just talk without break. You like to seek for popularity. Then any temptation that comes away is so easy for the temptation to pull you down. Beloved, the truth is this, which is very sad. God will join with the enemies against the unbroken. God will set himself against that person. God will give up the person to the will of the enemy to do their worst to him. The person will be torn and tortured by the enemy. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Almighty. There is no friend like God, beloved, I tell you. But at the same time, there is no enemy like him. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? The reverse is also true. If God be against you, who can be for you? Nobody. Money cannot save a man from the hand of an angry God. The Bible tells us that riches profit not in the day of wrath. When the host of the Lord is against the person, when somebody is unbroken, you come under satanic power. The tempter that is tempting the person and the person is yielding to the temptation will eventually become the tormentor. It will hit the furnace hotter and hotter, in which unbroken people must burn for millions and millions of years. The Bible says hell and destruction have opened their mouth for the unbroken. They are waiting with greedy eyes. When divine anger comes, it is fierce, devouring, everlasting, unquenchable. This is the normal portion of the unbroken. The whole of creation works against the unbroken. The whole creation will be complaining against the person. The creation groans against the person. That is, when an unbroken person is on ground, If the inanimate objects could speak, they would say, excuse me, sir, we don't want to help this man. This man is not with God. The unbroken person is a burden to creation. If their food could talk, the food would say, Lord, must I really nourish this fool? Must I strengthen him so that he can continue in sin? Must I continue to give him power to dishonor you? Lord, please, let me choke him. Give me permission to kill him. God will say, no, it's not time yet. The air will say, Lord, must I give this man the benefit to continue to speak blasphemy and these filthy jokes? Can I continue to allow him to scorn your word the way he's scorning it? Let me withdraw from this person. Let me withdraw from him. I will say, no, it's not yet. Not yet. Even his car, his vehicle that he bought with his own money. The car will say, must I carry this man? Am I supposed to be carrying this wicked man around? Let me break his bones. The whole of creation is against the unbroken person. Tonight, are you here? And you are unbroken? Are you here? The laboratory of your heart is as dirty as anything. You see somebody is not about, you say, hi, love. The laboratory of your heart is as dirty as that. You are reading terrible books, believers will not read. Are you here like that? Are you here? And you are staying in a bus stop, God did not want you to stay? Are you here? Are you a fool as recorded by scripture? Don't be too surprised. If there is a war you are fighting now and is looking so stubborn, bow down your heads now. Bow down your heads where you are. Those of us who are here tonight, we know we have things to sort out with the Lord. I recommend you go on your knees where you are. You know you have things to sort out. Nobody needs to tell you now. You know, you have to go on your knees now and begin to talk to the Lord yourself. Father, you must help me. I cannot continue like this. Is this why my battle is so strong? Is it that your angels are waging war against me? Am I like a modern day Jonah who is not doing what you expect him to do? Right there, you need to suck out yourself before the Lord now, before it becomes too late. Ask the Lord to forgive you of those areas of unbrokenness, of those areas where you have not been your best for the master, of those areas where you have been a disgrace to his kingdom. Ask him to forgive you now, so that you can pick up fresh strength from here tonight and be able to achieve what God wants you to achieve. This is not a day to masquerade. It is not a day to masquerade. It's a day to be sincere with your maker. How can it be said that you're a member of Mountain of Fire and Miracles Ministry, and yet you did not possess your possession because of the laboratory of your heart? You did not get the full benefit of what the Lord wants you to get here, because there's a secretly concealed sin you refuse to leave. You have an opportunity tonight. Cry to the Lord from your heart to deliver you now. And have mercy, and have mercy, and have mercy. Speak to the Lord now. An opportunity to sort out yourself completely. Completely, completely. You cannot afford to leave this place the same.
I've set my feet on God's road, and never will I treat alone. Though I am often weary, I'll travel till I reach my home. 10,000 foes may surround me to tear me from the right. The hand of God still around me, till I see him face to face. I've set my feet on God's road, and never will I drift alone. Though I am often weary, I'll travel till I reach my home. I've set my feet on God's road, and never will I drift alone. Though I am often weary,
Amen. Let's lay our hands on our chest now. And you will cry to the Lord like this. Arrows of iniquity in my heart melt away by the power in the blood of Jesus. Arrows of iniquity in my heart melt away by the power in the blood of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to declare it. Let the arrows of iniquity be melted away by the power and the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's rise up on our feet now. In case you are here tonight, you are not even born again, you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, I give you an opportunity to do so now. Wherever you are, while all eyes are closed, just raise up your right hand and say what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Take control of my heart. Take control of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. To say that short prayer with me, immediately we close. Don't find your way to the altar here so that we can pray more with you. There are prayers I want you to pray now. These prayers are for those who know that they want God. Those who are not really hungry for God should keep quiet. But those who want God, they should pray this prayer from their heart. Heavens, come down into my soul. In the name of Jesus. Heavens, come down into my soul. Ask for heavens to come down to your soul. Heavens, come down to my soul. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. The second prayer in this song, which I want you to sing from your heart. Sing it from your heart. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever new. Change my heart, oh Lord, may I be loud. Sing it again, loud and clear. Change my heart, oh Lord, make it ever new. Change my heart, oh Lord. May I be loved. Sing it again one more time. Change my heart. Be ever new. Change my heart. Oh Lord. May I be loved. You now pray the third prayer like this. Those who want to touch God, and they want God to touch them. Hardness in my heart. Break by the blood of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to declare broken. Break by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. If you are that man here, you have been struggling to get out of the grip of this strange woman, you will make a decision, you want to break free, but immediately you set eyes on her, something melts you away. You have been struggling to get out of the grip of this man, but the more you struggle, the more you fall. You are tired of your situation, and you want a break tonight. Quietly find a way to this altar and be on your knees, so that the Lord can set you loose from this bondage that has kept you for years, and that is disgracing your spiritual life. Everybody will sing this song loud and clear, and sing it from your heart too. Sing with the heart that wants the touch of God here today. Send down the vibe, Lord. Let it come within my soul. Only God revive. Pentecost. Send down the vibe. Let it come within my soul. Hallelujah, holy. Ghost revival. Somebody touch me, Those of you at the front here, begin to mention whoever it is by name and say, I break every soul tie linking me with this person now. You have an opportunity to be free now so that you don't walk from church to hellfire. Mention the person's name and break the soul tie now. 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 Masika tonde keya boshente rabosandia. The keten de yaboko shenten de rabosonton de kete yabosanda. At least the blood of Jesus, I plead 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 the blood of Jesus. Calvary, 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 I will never forget Calvary, 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 Father, I thank you for these your children here. Every yoke of strangeness that has grabbed anyone here, let the yoke of strangeness be broken in the name of Jesus. Any bewitching power upon your soul, I break the bewitching power by the power and the blood of Jesus. Receive holy boldness. Receive holy courage. Receive your deliverance from the hand of strangeness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You may go back to your seat now. In my Father's house, there are many mansions there. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Hallelujah, in my Father's house, amen. Happy we shall be, happy, hallelujah, hallelujah, happy, hallelujah, in my Father's house. Father, we come before you tonight by the power of the blood that was shed. Father, we come before you. Anything within us that will make you to join up with our enemies to fight us hard, no matter how we love that thing, no matter how we embrace it, separate them from us tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. The first prayer I want you to pray out of this seven These are prayers of divine encounter. Save me, Lord, and I shall be saved. Heal me, Lord, and I shall be healed. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray that the great physician should save you and you shall be saved. Heal me and you shall be healed. Masekapola kaya boshendera bokontendia. Oh Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, in my dreams tonight. Oh God of Elijah. Appear. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and declare it. In my dreams tonight. Oh God of Elijah, appear. In Jesus' name we pray. Habitation of iniquity in my life. Catch fire. In the name of Jesus. Deal with the habitation of iniquity. Masika tondaya boshende rabo kontea. Dasente kaya boshente rabo santo. In Jesus' name we pray. The Lord is showing somebody here. You have just carried out an abortion. You have just carried out an abortion. And the Lord said, I should tell you that unless you cry for mercy now, that abortion you carried out is the last pregnancy. Unless you cry out for mercy now, because the Lord has been warning you about this situation and you have been repeating and repeating your errors. While we are praying this prayer, if you are the person, better find your way to the front so that men of God there can lay hands on you. You just carried out this abortion. Just a few days from now, away from now. Everybody will shout this loud and clear. Make sure that nobody's voice overshadows your own. Say this loud and clear. King Uzziah. Assigned against me. Can you say this loud and clear? Death! In the name of Jesus. Let the King Uzziah be destroyed. In the name of Jesus. Masika tenda kaya boshende rabo santo. Ribo sopende kaya boshente rabo kolaba. King Uzziah, sign against me. Your time is up, your time is up. Masika teya boshende rabo kosente. In Jesus' name we pray. This is number 5. My Father. Anything that will make you to join my enemies, take it out of my life. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Take it out. Masikatoya boshendera bokosente lakaya boshante. Beriboko soponde keya boshendera bokosante. Yes. Masekaya boshendera bokosomponda kaya boshente. Yes, 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 yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Men of God, I've already prayed for you. You can go back to your seat now. But go and sin no more. This is prayer number 6. And you need to pray this from your heart. When Daniel saw the Lord, something happened to his life. When Paul met God, something happened to his life. My Father, visit me. Can you say that loud and clear? In the name of Jesus, ask for divine visitation. Visit me. In Jesus' name we pray. When the wind of God blew onto the dry bones, they became alive. They became a great army. Say this louder than anyone here. Wind of God. Blow upon my destiny. In the name of Jesus. Let this wind blow upon my destiny. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us share the grace in fellowship.